Good evening, folks. This is Carolyn Evers. And, Richard, are you around someplace?
I'm hiding under a bushel. Do you want another good evening, or would you like something else tonight?
I don't know. Let's do something else tonight. Good evening is boring. what could you do besides good evening?
Oh, I don't know. I'll have to think about it. We'll see. G'day. How does that go?
Yeah, good day of work. Anyway, we sent out email messages to our list who have signed up at Richard, tell them about our website, how they can get all this information, know everything that's going on with us.
Well, I'm not sure it includes all of that, Carolyn, but they can learn about all the 2012 stuff from the 2012countdown.com website. How about that? So what you got in mind?
That'll be fine. Yeah, we don't want to tell them everything, do we?
And if you go to the bottom of any of those pages, you'll see a place where you can enter your name and email address, and you'll receive our emails, if you don't already.
And the reason that I suggested that is because we sent out an email talking about the show today at BBS and the fact that Steve Fawcett would be our guest and we would be contacting him. And, of course, you know that Steve is on the other side, and we've been taking his information and sending it out in e-books. And so if you were signed up at our website, you'd know all about this stuff. The same way if you have signed up at my Yahoo group. We keep you informed with the Yahoo group. And if you want to sign up for beautiful articles and things that I have written, you can go to CarolynEvers.com and sign up for the Yahoo group. All of this is easy and painless. Imagine in the world today, something being easy and painless. So, Steve, are you there, my friend? Richard, is he there?
Are you asking through me?
Yeah, of course. Who else would I ask through?
Oh, well, through you, of course.
Oh, no, come on.
So, let's see. He's here.
Just checking. I just want to check and see if he got the time right. You know, there's Pacific time, Central time, Eastern time. I don't know what time it is on the other side. It's now time. So, I just check and make sure he's with us. And, Richard, about how long have we been working with Steve? 2 years, a year?
Yes, it's coming up towards 2 years. I remember we released his first e-book.
October or September, I think it was.
3rd of September 2008, which was the anniversary of his disappearance.
Mm-hmm.
And so I suppose you started taking the content of that perhaps in July, June, July, mm-hmm. something like that. Mm-hmm. It took a while to kind of get things rolling as it does, but there we go. So, yeah,
we've been working with Steve for about 2 years, and this last e-book that you took from him is, what number is that, Richard?
It's number 5.
Number 5.
Hmm.
And just to give a little bit, well, first of all, Richard, I'm going to give one part of Steve's background, and then I'm going to have you give another part. I'm going to give a part about Steve that this is his mission. Steve's mission was to come to Earth to become well known, and then from the other side, give a perspective of what was happening on Earth that had to do with things that we know about, Ascension, 2012, changes in the earth, political changes, corporate changes, changes on all levels, anything that affects humanity, he is there giving an overview of it. Is that fair to say, Richard?
Absolutely, that's fair to say.
So why don't you start where you want to start talking about Steve, whether it's when he first contacted you, or whether you want to start with his disappearance. Where would you like to start with this?
I'm not sure, really. I mean, I was aware of Steve, and, you know, if you have any interest in, you know, high-level achievement, I suppose, you know, particularly of a physical sort, it's hard not to be aware of Steve and the things that he was doing over quite a few years, setting new records in terms of hot air balloon flying and, you know, circumnavigating the world in a balloon and setting sailing records, and really an amazing array of records that he was setting in all kinds of things. And a lot of people looked at him as being something of a daredevil. And, you know, I came to understand that really a key to what he was able to achieve was that he actually looked very hard at what he was doing and worked to get the risk out of it. And that's how he managed to do what he did for so long with such great effectiveness. And so I was aware of him and also was aware that he had disappeared. And it would have been, I suppose, in about March or April of 2008, so maybe about 6 months after he'd disappeared, I received an email from a woman in Holland, in the Netherlands, with whom I was exchanging emails at the time on kind of spiritual type subjects. And she said that she'd become aware of Steve, and he'd given her a message saying that he wanted to contact me, which kind of, at the time, completely floored me, because I couldn't imagine why he would want to get in contact with me. But he not only gave her that message, but indeed got back in contact with her later that night or the next day to reinforce that message. And so, you know, twice in short order kind of had me looking at what on earth this was about, and I still really didn't understand it. But he actually suggested that I get in touch with another woman that I know who channels, and that contact, that, you know, an attempt to open up that conversation didn't go anywhere. And so I immediately, my thoughts turned to Carolyn, who, you know, I was aware of her extraordinary skills in this regard. And so I emailed Carolyn, and so the conversation opened up from there, and then the ebook began to appear. So it was kind of an interesting unfolding. And if anybody is kind of interested in that background, it's actually up on a web page called stevefawcettmessages.com. You can kind of see it there. So that was the background to it all. And so it unfolded, and Carolyn started to take Steve's first ebook, and then we put it up on the shopping cart and off we went. And in many ways it really was the beginning of a lot of the work that Carolyn and I have done together. It was the starting point of all that we have done. So Steve kind of was the catalyst of us beginning to work together in this way.
Isn't it amazing? You were in Australia, I was here in the U.S., and somebody who had disappeared and was on the other side of the veil, basically, introduced the two of us to work together. What a story!
Via someone in Holland.
And since then, there have been such extraordinary work with Steve. And this particular ebook, this last one that we took, every ebook that Steve has done has been interesting, because he starts from a slow pace so people understand this is how I see it, understand the metaphysical, and kind of like notches it up a little bit more so people can understand what's happening. Now, this particular ebook, I find particularly interesting because what's happening out in the world today, there is so much change. Ascension is on the horizon. We have situations that have risen in the financial market, the political market. And he is there, you might say, looking around the bend, telling us what is going to happen. So the best that I can say right now is, out of all this that you have done on Steve's ebook today, this last one, what would you say is one of the most interesting things that Steve has spoken of?
Well, that's a challenging one. I suspect the most interesting will, to me, is his discussion about rejuvenation coming forth. He talks about the fact that it is literally beginning to come forth as he was giving that message to us, i.e. now, because, you know, it was only in the last couple of days, really, that he gave us that material. So, you know, and to me, it's an exciting moment because as that comes forth into the world, it, to me, is the big trigger, if you will, to alert humanity to what's going on here, because it's something that simply won't fit inside anybody's belief system, inside their mental box, if you will, their scientific or rational box. It just doesn't fit. How can someone who might be in their, you know, 60s, 70s, 80s or 90s suddenly return to, you know, 25, 35 years of age and have a level of perfection in the physical body they've never had before? It's hard to fit that inside any understanding other than the understanding of what's unfolding between now and through to early 2013. So, it, to me, it's a very exciting thing that he is talking about there. Not that the rest isn't, but if there was one thing that really sticks out, it's that.
Well, I would agree with you. I do think that is a tremendously extraordinary thing because Earth hasn't seen this in this manner. Well, just kind of not deciding which is more important than the other, just a little bit of some of the things that he's talking about. He talks about extraterrestrials, and, of course, he finds that rather fascinating because I'm going to ask you to discuss how he actually, in his plane, went into uncharted waters about that. Are you willing to do that, Richard? Because I think you can tell that story better than I can.
In terms of when he disappeared, is that what you're talking
about?
Yes. He was, he went out on a flight, as anybody that's followed the story will know, in a light plane that he had borrowed, just for a reasonably short flight to apparently check out where he might do some land speed record work. And he noticed a light, I guess, and so he went to investigate. And as he approached, this light sort of lifted
Richard,
up.
Richard, might I just interrupt you for 1 second? I'm really sorry to be doing that, but Steve is asking if he can describe this in his words. I just love it.
What a good idea. It would be. Are you still on air, Carolyn, or is it me that's gone off, or what has happened here? It's just I can't hear you on my headset anymore. Carolyn dropped. I see. So, Carolyn, you might want to just...
I'm on now.
Look at that.
I don't know how I got off.
No, technology. You know how it is. But I'm impressed that you got yourself back on. That's the bit that really impresses me.
Well, you know, Skype and stuff like that. What do I know? I just put gas in the tank and press the accelerator button.
Indeed. And so let us see what Steve has to say about his disappearance. He's saying, I was flying over an area of the desert where I had flown before. I was actually looking for the light, though I hadn't told anyone that that's what I was doing. I was intrigued with this sighting that I had had once before, and so I went looking to see if I could relocate it. And indeed I did. And as I flew towards it to see if I could understand what was making this light, it began to lift up into the atmosphere, if you will, up into the sky. And so I began to follow the light, and I was getting pretty close to the limit of where a small plane like that would go, or certainly where I was willing to go. Again, as Richard mentioned, I really wasn't a risk taker, even though many thought that I was because of the feats that I undertook. And so I was contemplating whether I would pursue it much further, and suddenly everything changed. It's like the light came around me and I blacked out. And the next thing I knew was that I woke up on what was like this, well, you could say it was kind of like almost a slab, a bench or whatever. It was not cold, it was warm. And I was aware of these beings around me, beings that were not human beings, working on my physical body. And it was some time before I came to understand what had happened. They were working on my physical body to stabilize it because it was not initially in a form that would survive in those conditions. So they were working with my body to have me survive. And as I spent time with them, I came to understand that indeed what had occurred had all been planned before I ever came to Earth. It was planned that I would leave in this way. It was planned that I would build a public profile in the way that I built it with my exploits, so that humanity on a broad basis would be aware of who and what I was. And so it was planned that I would disappear in this way, though of course I was unaware of all of this whilst I was living my life and doing all the things that I did. And so they worked to get my body functioning properly, if you will, in their environment, which they did. And in a sense, what they did was actually help my body through the transition, which is about to begin with the rejuvenation process on Earth that I mentioned. So you could say they worked with my body to have it become the form of the physical body that you will have when you ascend. That was the process that they were working on, though I did not understand it at the time. And subsequently they showed me my aeroplane, which was severely crushed. I'm surprised that my physical body survived what happened. And so the intention was that my disappearance create the interest that it did, and then my information would come forth into the world as I have been bringing it forth. However, it was certainly not planned that those who work with the dark would fake my crash. And few people yet understand that the reason they did that was because I included some words in my first ebook which said that I intended to expose what the military were up to, and by that I meant the black ops operations behind the mainstream military, which is a group of incredible power and a group that is not responsible to anyone but themselves. And I discuss why this is so to some extent in this latest ebook, because they are about to be exposed. And So it was not planned that they would fake my crash in that way and then fake a DNA result and all the rest, which has had the world believe that that was my crash site, because it certainly was not my crash site. The reason that was done was to discredit that first ebook and anything that might follow. However, whilst it may have slowed that down, what they haven't counted on in all of this is the power of the forces that are at work, the processes that are at work. And indeed, it will have quite the opposite result, because one of the things I also talk about in this ebook is the fact that the faked, the false DNA result, if you will, plus the fact that the airplane that I crashed in did not have the serial numbers on the engine or the prop that were those of the plane that I was flying, which has all been buried. All of that information is known by those who investigated the crash, but of course they have been leaned on to keep all of that quiet. All of this will come forth, and it will be a very important thread that will begin to open up who is behind this and why. It will actually be an important thread that will expose the black ops operations and the things that they do and have done. Humanity will be shocked and amazed as they begin to understand some of the things that these people have done. And faking my disappearance is a fairly minor act on their radar. They just wanted this material that I was bringing forth through Carolyn to simply go away, but it will not. Quite the opposite will indeed happen. And so that is a quick summary of what happened.
That's beautiful, Steve. Thank you for telling us about that. There's Anita is on line one, and I will chat with her, but I understand she wants an angel reading. And Anita, if you do, we're just going to be keeping this information with Steve Fawcett today. So if you have a question for Steve, we'd be glad to get an answer for you. Is Anita there?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, I'm here. I ain't really got a question for him. I just wanted to read, and that's all. Wondering, was he doing the readings today?
No, I'm most willing to do that, Anita, but today we have structured this around Steve, and I'd appreciate it if you call back on another show. We'd be glad to do it for you.
All right, no problem. Thank you.
Okay, dear. Thank you. So, Steve, there is so much in this ebook. Richard mentioned what he felt very keen about. Tell me, and the listeners, if you would, which thought or thread did you bring forth in this ebook that you feel especially important that people know about? Thank you, Steve. Yvette is on line one with a question for Steve. Can we bring her on and she share her question with us?
Hi, Carolyn. Can you hear me?
I certainly can, Yvette.
Hi, I do have a question. What I've wondered for a while is how people associated with the dark, and maybe my understanding is just wrong, is how it seems like regular people like us, we evolve through time, through lives, and evolve spiritually, and our part of that is through karma. And do these people that are associated with the dark not, are they not, do they not live by those same laws that we do? I mean, spiritual laws or natural law. Do you understand my question?
Not exactly, but let me see if I understand it. I think is what you want to know how people on Earth become involved with the dark. Is that your question?
Yeah, I guess that's kind of my question. I mean, it's more how, yeah, I mean, how does it evolve through time? Go ahead.
Steve, from your perspective, would you be kind enough to tell us how you see people on Earth becoming involved with the dark? I'm sure you have a good perspective on that. I have my own answer that I could give to Yvette, but I'd like to hear your observation. Yeah, it's a delay. You're hearing the delay.
Okay.
Now, this doesn't have anything to do with you, Yvette. Excuse me, Richard. BBS is asking if you're muted. They can't hear you. He's saying no. He says we're not hearing Richard at all.
Has that made a difference?
That made a difference. You're on now.
Okay.
Okay. I don't know what you did, but you're back. So.
Okay. I was muted, and I didn't realize I was muted. I hadn't intended to mute myself. We're having fun tonight, aren't we? Technology is having a great time.
Yeah, somebody
so
needs
where...
to take care of your back end. Okay, let's get Steve on about the dark again.
It's on my front, so it's my front end that needs some assistance. So,
I'm not going there.
Steve, perhaps we should start at the beginning of that. there are souls who choose to walk the path of the light and only the path of the light. There are some who choose to sometimes walk the path of the dark and sometimes of the light, so that they can experience both sides, if you will. Because one of the underlying principles of the journey of the soul is experience. And in essence, there is no judgment in any of that. And there have been those souls upon earth that have chosen the path of the dark and have been persuaded by those souls within the cosmos that are walking the path of the dark in a completely dedicated manner, that they will win. They will ultimately control all and control all of creation. And so you could say there are those upon earth that have thrown in their lot with these ones. And so that is how this has unfolded. And you could also say that many of those beings are controlled by those off-planet beings. So it is a complicated picture. I will also comment that your understanding of karma is a reflection of how many people see karma. Many see karma as being a little like the Buddhists see karma, which is there are consequences for every action that you take. That if you get angry at someone, for example, that has karmic consequences that will return. And so it becomes a very detailed perception of how one needs to unfold one's life. And really, karma is not about that in terms of its lasting effect. For example, if you apologize to someone, or if you forgive them and forgive yourself for actions undertaken, all of that is simply resolved. The issue of past life karma, which is involved in preparation for ascension, is about energies which remain from past lives where the life has ended in difficulty or unresolved issues. Most of this is related to the interaction with the beings of the dark, where individuals have ended their lives, you could say, earlier than planned, and have died in great fear or some other emotion, and those energies are trapped on this plane. There are other aspects of karma which are a little closer to what, for example, the Buddhists might consider, and that is where an individual has been very abusive to others ongoingly in a lifetime, indeed potentially over many lifetimes, and so they return in this lifetime to heal those issues. And indeed, it is likely that the souls who have interacted with them in those experiences may return with them to help them heal it. And so that is a little closer to the Buddhist look of the Buddhist view of karma. And so there is a misunderstanding. It is worth mentioning this. There is a misunderstanding amongst many people on your planet about the nature of karma.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Yvette. And now we have another question for Steve. Jessica is online, too, if you'd be kind enough to come
original
forth.
Question.
And, yeah, what's
I'm
your
sorry?
Question for Steve, dear?
Yes, it was going to be the how and the why of the dark side, and I think some of that was just covered. Or, I'm sorry,
right.
the who and the why that Steve had actually said, and that we would be amazed to understand that. And so I don't know if he wants to reveal the who, but I was curious about that. And I was also curious about what Steve experiences day to day. Does he eat? Does he wear clothes? What's going on there?
I think that's an excellent question. Steve, what do you do day to day? You wear clothes?
Let me begin by speaking a little more about who are the dark, as you call it. Because there are several threads to that answer as I see it from this dimension. I mentioned there are those within the cosmos who are committed to walking the path of the dark, and it's useful for humanity to understand that they have been extraordinarily destructive. They have destroyed entire galaxies. They have destroyed many planets. And so they have been very committed to a path of destruction and control. And it is fair to say that they do not obey the laws of creation. They are in complete opposition to the divine plan. And I would mention that part of what is happening at the time of 2012 is the ending of the cycle of the dark, not just upon your planet, but indeed across all of creation, indeed within consciousness, the consciousness within which creation sits. So it is a momentous time that you are approaching. And even though from the perspective of Earth, the ascension process is truly an extraordinary event, in the context of the totality of the cosmos, the ending of the cycle of the dark is perhaps far more significant. And so I felt it worthwhile mentioning that. And in this next ebook, I do talk about who the key elements of the forces of the dark are. I do mention the black ops operations of the military, which are very much a dark operation. I talk about those who've controlled the finances of the world for millennia. They certainly are of the same persuasion. So they would perhaps be the major groups that you might look at. And as for my day-to-day experience, in this dimension, you have a choice about how you display yourself to others. And you may choose to display yourself as wearing clothes, which I do. And even though the expression of my physical body in this dimension, because I still have a physical body, is rather larger than it was on Earth, even though I gathered a little extra weight in my later years, the expression of my physical body is a little larger than that, and I do display myself as wearing clothes not dissimilar to what I wore on Earth, because I am familiar with that. I'm comfortable with that form of dress. And in this dimension where I am, there is no requirement to consume food, nor indeed is there the opportunity to do so. The body on this level simply lives on energy. And I would say to you that when you ascend, you will not be moving to that situation. Your physical body will be very similar to what it is now. Indeed, it will virtually remain the same as it will be after the rejuvenation process is complete for you, unless you are a young child, in which case it will continue to develop to the age that you choose to stop it at. And you will have a choice when you ascend whether you wish to continue to consume food, and I anticipate most will, or that you wish your body to simply function from the prana coming from the sun. And indeed, there are a very small number of individuals on your planet today who are able to do this. You may have seen the recent press of an Indian gentleman of some 70-odd years of age who has lived since about the age of 6 without food or water. And there have been other beings that have done this. So it is rare on your planet today, but it is not impossible. And it will become more common after ascension, but there is no requirement for an individual to make that choice. Food will be available. Indeed, you can create food if you choose. So there will be many options in that regard after ascension.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Jessica.
Thank you very much.
Now we have a question from a person named Tempest from California on line 3.
Yes, ma'am.
Hello? Hello? Do you have a question for Steve? Hello? Do you have a question?
Yes, ma'am, I do.
And what's your question?
I have not read the e-books. I've just been introduced to your site within the past 2 or 3 days, and I have read everything I can. But what I came up with is that Steve is now in the Pleiades, with the Pleiadians. Is that correct?
I'm going to let Steve answer this. Steve, you want to discuss where your location is?
Firstly, I am not in the Pleiades, and nothing that I have said or written would suggest that I am in the Pleiades. Indeed, what I have done is moved on to higher dimensions, and indeed I have moved on to a dimension which is higher than you will initially ascend to with the ascension process. And I am working my way through the dimensions on my way back to Source, back to the Creator of all, because that is where I wish to go. And I am staying close enough to this dimension to be able to complete this mission. And it will be completed by the time you reach that solstice of December 2012. And so I shall remain in contact in this way until that time. And then I shall move further on and return back to the central sun.
Thank you, Steve. And thank you for your question, Tempest. You're welcome, dear. We now have Frank from New Jersey is on line 1. Do you have a question for Steve, Frank?
Yes, I do.
What's your question?
Well, with all the chaos with the oil spill, there's been a lot of information coming out.
Yes.
And I just want to clarify, well, we know there's that one well that they're trying to plug and all that, but after that explosion on April 20th, the Deepwater Horizon rig, did it actually damage any of the seafloor? And are there any more leaks that pose a potential threat to the Gulf and the rest of the U.S.?
I like your question, Frank. It's something that Richard and I have been following and working with, and I would like to ask Steve his perspective on this and his answer. Did you hear the question, Steve?
He's saying, I heard the question, and it is a subject of great interest and concern upon your planet at this time. And as Yeshua came forth and said, it has been a deliberate explosion, you could say, triggered by those of the dark wishing to extend their control. And it is a good example of how little they care about the damage that they do to achieve their ends. Indeed, they would be willing to risk the possibility that the entire planet would be destroyed for them to achieve their ends. It's important that humanity understands both of these elements. And so to your question. The explosion did cause some disruption in the area of the seafloor where the well enters the reservoir. And as the world is now aware, that reservoir is a very high pressure reservoir. And as such, it will be very difficult, if not impossible, for the efforts of BP, either via capping or using the relief wells to end this issue. And so if it is left in the hands of humanity, it is likely that this will become catastrophic in global terms. However, it is not the intention of those of the light to allow this to continue. And if you have been tracking the messages from Carolyn and Richard, you will be aware that work was done to stop this. However, those of the dark have interfered with those efforts. And I would say to you that we are approaching the time when that interference will be stopped and the outcomes will surprise many of humanity. Indeed, this well and the cleanup of the oil spill will astound humanity in general. It will be resolved, but not by humanity in a direct sense. The well will be sealed from within, and the leaks will be stopped, and the oil spill will be cleaned up, and cleaned up quite quickly, and humanity will be amazed by this outcome, because the power of the light is returning to the planet in a powerful way, and it is happening almost as we speak. And so the outcomes of this oil spill will be benign by and large. I say benign because the potential impact, as I said, is catastrophic. And yes, there have been many animals and birds and so on that have lost their lives through the damage that has already occurred. But this will be cleaned up quite quickly. And so I say to you, watch this space. You will be amazed by what will unfold. And so it is.
Thank you, Frank. We're glad to have your question. We have, I don't know, about 4 minutes. And, Richard, before we go, would you be kind enough to give the address of our website, please? For Steve's information.
Yes, Steve has his own website, which is called stevefossettlives.com, and you can go there and get the specific information. There is also information about Steve's ebooks on, if you go to the 2012countdown.com website, you'll see a page there called Shop 2012, which has all of his ebooks and all of our other products on it in that one place. So you can also find details of his ebooks on that page as well.
Thank you, Richard. We have 1 minute left, Steve. Is there some thought you wish to leave with our listeners?
Yes, I would say that you are entering a time which will see great change upon your planet. Some will see it as being very disruptive, destructive indeed, and for some it will be a difficult path. However, I would say that those of you that are choosing to walk the path to ascension, it will be something of a dream ride from this moment forth. And so it is a time when those two paths will separate, and the truth of what is unfolding will come forth in great evidence upon your planet. It is truly an exciting time which you are entering, and in some ways I wish I could share it with you. It is a wondrous time.
Thank you, Steve. Until the next time, bless you on your journey and your work with us, and bring forth to the world what you see around the bend, so to speak. And so until next week, Carolyn Evers and Richard, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Carolyn. It was fun. And thank you, Steve.
It was fun. Thank you, Steve. Until next week, and if you want to hear a rerun of this, it's on Sunday show.